Welcome back. You're on the special Easter edition of Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Now, Damien, you went to quite an interesting do this week, didn't you?
I've been to a few business launches in my time, Russell. Never have I been to one with the amount of décolletage this one had.
Do tell.
Thanks for making such a great turnout on Green Carbon Day. My name is Sieg Woodhouse and I'm the founder of Green Carbon. I'm sure that a number of you already know who I am. But for those
it was a surreal mix of people who gathered at the Western Hotel on Monday night for the launch of CB Woodhouse's carbon credit company, Green Carbon.
I'd like to consider myself as a true entrepreneur in all sense of the word.
Woodhouse, the 31-year-old best known for starting internet service provider Orcon, then selling it for 20-odd million, has in more recent times become a familiar face in the Sunday social pages as the self-styled playboy millionaire who surrounds himself with big busted bikini babes, hosting lavish parties and inviting the paparazzi over to his multi-million dollar North Shore mansion. Still, you've got to admire his friends, the likes of Nikki Watson and glamour model Micaiah Simmons, for turning up to a company launch and sticking it out through speeches from people like the Sustainable Business Council's Peter Nielsen.
First of all, I've got to start with a health warning, particularly for those who are in the finance markets or the money markets. According to a report on TV1's new website last week, reef fish get lost as climate changes.
But all unfunny jokes aside, Peter Nielsen was keen to point out that carbon credits are only the first in a long list of environmental costs businesses will be facing in the near future.
This is only one price on one externality. We're going to be, within this decade, we're probably going to be having markets for emissions to water, other emissions to the air other than greenhouse gases. We've already got a waste levy. More and more companies and countries are keen on using tradable entities in order to live within environmental limits. And I think this is just one of the first ones. There'll be plenty more coming in New Zealand.
Leader of the National Party and friend to the environment, John Key, was also in attendance. Although instead of talking emissions trading, came out with what seemed like an advertisement for our universities.
And I mean, I took one very interesting stat. I was looking at some data the other day. If you go to university in New Zealand, there is a 25% chance you will end up living overseas.
That's a good thing, right? Of course, imposing environmental costs on businesses is a tricky tightrope for the Nats.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the message we're trying to get out there is, look, the Kyoto Protocol is real. That imposes a real financial liability on New Zealand Inc., the country. It's in New Zealand's long-term brand image to get that right and to make sure that our country and our companies are environmentally friendly. But I think one of the reasons why we always emphasise there needs to be a balance between our environmental obligations and our economic opportunities is there really is a balance here. I mean, just sending people offshore isn't a solution, but neither is doing nothing. So, yeah, for us it's a carefully trod line, but I think you can take people with you. And it's one of the reasons why I think the emissions trading system is very important, but it needs to be structured in a way where people can see, yeah, that makes sense, and on a relative competitive basis, they're not at a massive disadvantage.
For example, in Parliament, do your MPs, national MPs, offset their plane flights with carbon credit?
I don't know what they individually do. I suspect the answer is no, partly because it's not easy to do. But I don't think it's a bad idea that we individually look at our emissions profile. I mean, I'm reasonably environmentally friendly. We've just changed our car to a very, very highly efficient new diesel, much smaller car. Our house is pretty environmentally friendly. And yeah, if there are options available to us to offset some of the emissions, which are horrendous at the moment as we're in the middle of a kind of campaign, then it wouldn't be something I'd be opposed to doing.
Will you be recommending to Brian Connell that he buys carbon credits to offset his speakers to a trip?
Yeah, and maybe some sort of gagging device or something.
In his opening address, CB Woodhouse illustrated the greenhouse effect by comparing the atmosphere and relative temperature of Earth to those of Venus and Mercury, finally finding a use for all those Friday nights spent as a teenager reading his solar system books. But there's no doubting Mr. Woodhouse has an eye for a business opportunity, and he sounds like he's a genuine, if rather recent, convert to the environmental cause.
You know, I want to do some good in my lifetime, and I want to be seen as someone that's actually made a difference. But I think that the environmental, you know, boom is going to be bigger than the internet boom. And as a business person as well as an environmentalist, I'm keen to be on board and I like being part of something that's changing. So where there's change, there's opportunity. And I don't know, you know, I'm not an expert yet on environmental matters, but it's the same as the internet where I'll get stuck in and I'll do it, you know.
You seem to have a lot of knowledge on the science side of things. I mean, you're talking about the planets and everything else that you're sort of talking about today. A lot of work gone in behind the scenes to get your sort of yourself up to speed.
I guess it helps a little bit. I was a bit of a bookworm at home and things. I used to read the Encyclopedia Britannica, so I've got a good general knowledge to draw on. But I had quite a science bent at school and university. I was an engineer, so I've got quite a technical mind, and I think that helps, you know, because it is both businesses, internet and, you know, global warming are a lot about facts and figures. I think it would be hard to do if you didn't really have a scientific brain, which I think I do.
You call yourself an environmentalist. You mentioned yourself being an environmentalist. But, I mean, how does that work along with being a sort of multimillionaire playboy on the North Shore?
I think it can work. The thing is that every Westerner effectively is not really living a sustainable lifestyle. It's almost impossible in today's world as a Westerner. The average third world person, and there's nearly 4 billion of them, only consumes 1/30th as many resources as the average first world person. So, you know, if you live in India or something like that, chances are you probably might, you know, gather a few scraps and you know, burn a bit of wood or something, but you're not consuming huge amounts of resources to make your car, build your plasma TV, ship things all around the world, get FedEx packages and all that sort of thing. So, at the moment, I may live a lifestyle that's slightly higher than your average person, but we all, you know, need to do that. And personally, I'm offsetting all of my carbon emissions. So I'm a lot greener, even though I may have a higher lifestyle than a lot of other people. So, you know, my money's going to planting trees and building wind farms and things to offset the, you know, my guilty pleasures every now and again.
So, I mean, this is one of the problems some people have with carbon trading, is that it doesn't necessarily get you to reduce your emissions. It just means that if you can afford to offset them, you can do so.
That's not necessarily the case. I mean, the thing about carbon trading is that it does incentivize clean technology and it does penalize, you know, dirty technology. So an example I've given before is that we're working with Meridian and they've built wind farms in the Wairarapa, but wind farms aren't generally as cost effective as, say, coal. But once carbon credits are attached to wind farms and we sell those carbon credits, all of a sudden power companies say, well, wind farms are a good thing because we get money from, you know, the power, but we also get money from the carbon credits. So we want to build a whole lot more wind farms and burn less coal. And if we're burning less coal, that's good for the environment. So that's how carbon credits kind of work.
On a personal level, I mean, you've got a giant pool. Is it heated? Is it an outdoor heated pool?
It's possible to be heated, but no, I don't heat it because I don't believe in heating it.
How long have you been buying carbon credits for?
The company's only a month old and today's our launch date.
But I mean, sorry, personally, to offset your carbon footprint?
A month, since the start of the company.
I noticed that in the material it says that businesses will come along to the company and they'll get an idea of their carbon footprint. Now, are you also along with that providing information how they can reduce their emissions, or are you just sort of just going to sell them what they need at the time?
Yeah, no, we are. I mean, essentially, we're trying to do some good. So we sort of have a two-pronged attack rather than, say, a typical trading company. And we're not like a stock exchange. So our primary goal is to, one of our goals is to provide consulting advice to help companies assess and reduce their footprint. And then the second, goal is to help them offset their emissions so that they're completely carbon neutral. But, you know, we get money from the consulting as well. And, if companies are more profitable, then they can afford to buy carbon credits in the future. So, you know, cost savings are a good viable business model.
You're getting into this industry obviously before it becomes compulsory. That's probably quite a good place to be from, you know, before it comes compulsory to offset your carbon. That's a great place to be for a startup business, isn't it?
I think it definitely is, because one of the things is companies that come on board with us, you know, will be prepared for the future. There will be a lot of companies that they don't do anything about it. They say, oh, we can't be bothered, being environmentally friendly. And then once regulations are passed that force them to be environmentally friendly, they won't have built up the expectation around the price and it'll hit them and, you know, they'll go out of business. Whereas if companies with us ramp up slowly, get themselves used to being energy efficient and also, you know, effectively paying, the right amount for the impact that they're having on the environment, then they'll be sustainable long term, and consumers will always choose sustainable businesses.
Where do the carbon credits actually come from? I mean, give me an idea. Are they, you know, I heard that your carbon credits were made in a sweatshop somewhere in Burma. Is that true?
No, well, carbon credits are never made in a sweatshop in Burma, but you know, we deal in all sorts. Because there's no emissions trading scheme or exchange in New Zealand, we're buying them on individual basis. So we're working with Meridian, we're buying some credits from Meridian, and that's basically wind farm credits. We're also dealing with forestry, so sequestration of carbon into the ground through forests.
So are they New Zealand made credits, a lot of them?
Yeah, New Zealand credits, Kyoto certified. We also do deal overseas with the Chicago Climate Exchange, which was the first exchange for carbon credits. But that's really just to smooth out supply. Ideally, you know, we're looking to buy and sell credits, you know, in New Zealand. But the trouble is we've got already so many customers. It's kind of the reverse of a typical business. We've got so many customers, and yet the supply is a little bit erratic because, you know, there aren't that many ventures and things. So the supply is an issue that we have, you know, at the moment. But, you know, we're smoothing that out with international credits and those kind of things. But
just looking around tonight, not your average, necessarily your average business launch crowd. A lot of beautiful women in the audience. Is that the Woodhouse effect, is it?
I don't know. I guess so. There's a few of my friends here, but a few of them are brought by people I don't know. So I don't know why there's a beautiful woman in the audience.
Cool. Good luck with everything.
Great. Thank you.
And with that, the odd mix of business people and glamour models partied into the night down at Auckland's Viaduct, drinking what else? Green cocktails.
That report from Damien Christie. After the break, we're off to WOMAD.